Hello and welcome to the D1 Softball Podcast. I'm your host, Tara Henry, joined by Rhiannon Podkey. As always, we are excited to bring you the best of the best in college softball. After the show, head on over to d1softball.com for all the latest news, scores, stories, and more. If you subscribe today, you can use code PODCAST20, that's PODCAST20, for 20% off an annual subscription. Now, let's get started. We are excited for today's new episode that features Caitlin Lowe from the University of Arizona. Here we are. Ree, how are you doing this week?
I am doing great. We're great to be back. Season 2 of the podcast. It's awesome. We got fall ball in full swing across the country, and the same, we, you know, football, college softball, everything. It's just fall's awesome time of year. I'm loving it.
So we are in Season 2, episode 1, and couldn't think of a better guest to have on the show. We had a fantastic time speaking with Caitlin Lowe, the new head coach of Arizona softball. She is pretty much bleeds Arizona softball and can't wait to get to that. But before we get to there, let's talk a little bit about these fall reports. You know, we've been off all summer long. We've had tons of stuff happen. We had AU pro sports. We had the announcement of a new pro league. And now we're getting into fall. Ree, what are your biggest takeaways from this past summer? I know we could probably talk about this for hours, but what did you see this summer?
My biggest takeaway is the conference shakeups and the movement that we're going to be seeing in a few years because of the announcements. The seismic decision by Texas and Oklahoma to leave the Big 12 and move to the SEC. In every sport that is seismic, in softball, that's going to be huge too. It's crazy. The brands get bigger. And the SEC becomes the dominant conference. And obviously that set off a few dominoes from that decision. And we've got now Houston, UCF, and BYU that will be going to the Big 12. And the American Athletic Conference is still trying to fill some of those voids left by Houston, UCF, and Cincinnati. But Cincinnati doesn't have softball program, so that's not relevant for our podcast. But that was a really surprising move. I mean, we knew, like, you know, there was some with college football dictates everything, and there'd been some rattlings within the infrastructure, but no one expected Texas and OU to deliver that bomb when they did. And as we know, those are two of the preeminent programs in softball in the country, yet alone the Big 12, and they'll be joining the SEC in a few years. And that just, that's huge. That's going to make it the SEC, man. It's already, I mean, they already get every team in. It's going to be like, they're going to get every team in, and every team's going to be like the top 16 seeds or something. It's going to be crazy. So that was my biggest thing this summer, was just that big shift and what that'll mean for softball in the future.
Yeah. I think I equated it to the Hunger Games, the new mix of SEC teams, and it's going to be, you know, the odds are ever in your favor at this point, and it's going to be a massive conference. And then we also had that Pac-12 ACC alliance come about, which I'm still quite not sure how that's going to actually work
out.
And
the Big Ten.
And the Big Ten, right? So we'll be looking at that in the next couple of years. But in terms of softball, just having those programs all in one conference, it's going to be spectacular. And you would guess that a huge recruiting tool for all those programs. I mean, the SEC is already, it does just mean more, right? That's the SEC slogan. And it's going to mean much more, I guess, by the time this
I'm interested, because I don't really, with the alliance, it's all just, there's no agreements in place. It's all like a gentleman's handshake, and it's mainly with football. I mean, let's be real. The softball, other sports have already been doing the alliance by scheduling each other. That's nothing new. So I really don't think that's going to impact softball too much, unless they, you know, write up some constitutional amendment where everyone signs. But even then, most of these schools are playing each other all the time in tournaments and things. So I really don't see that being a huge impact on softball if it stays the way it is. It was just basically like, hey, we want to join forces so the SEC can't bully us too much and look like we're doing something, even though it's really nothing, but we're just going to say we're doing something, and let's all sing kumbaya. That's kind of how it worked. And it really was nothing. So we'll see. I'm with you. I think it may all just, like, in a year, we may not even remember that they had the alliance, but that's just how it is when people are trying to react to something in the week. They need something to react to, so they react.
So we had a big conference shakeup in the summer. I think I'm most looking forward to tournaments coming back into play, because we didn't really have St. Pete, Clearwater. We didn't have the Mary Nutter, two of my favorite tournaments in the entire year. Both are back on this year. St. Pete announced their lineup, and Mary Nutter will be happening again. So even though those conferences have that shakeup, I think those two tournaments are pivotal in not only RPI rankings, but playing quality opponents early on in the season. And we didn't see that this year because they were both canceled. So I think that was a little bit of an issue for some of those mid-major teams that didn't get to kind of go out of conference. And to be honest, not even mid-majors, the Big Ten. The Big Ten only got to play each other. And, you know, we talked about it all season long. And I think that's going to really open up some opportunities. And the Big Ten will hopefully be able to play outside the conference this year. But those are the two tournaments I'm most looking forward to. And hopefully we'll be out at St. Pete's and the Mary Nutter this year, covering both of those games.
Yeah, definitely. I've heard from a lot of coaches that said, like, you know, their schedules were, specifically I was talking to Clemson for our fall report that will be coming out. And John Rittman said, like, you know, he anticipated a gradual buildup in their strength of schedule as that program gets off the ground, and it being its second full season this year, third in total. But he believes that was a big part of, you know, the NCAA kind of snubbing in terms of they didn't get a chance to play, and they're one of the Clearwater teams now, right? So he's thinking that hopefully their strength of schedule will be a little bit tougher this year because they were so restricted by some of the COVID restrictions on the conferences. So a lot of conferences were impacted. I think the SEC was probably the only one that really wasn't quite as impacted just because they have so many teams close by, but that will definitely be a huge boost to a lot of teams. And we'll get to, you know, it's tough to judge teams, you know, throughout the season unless they go head to head. So it'll be fun to see the conference crossover again more often.
You know, are we going to see coaches picking up games still via Twitter this next season? Because that seemed to be quite the trend when COVID or weather delays or whatever it was, coaches took to Twitter and said, hey, does anybody want to pick up some games? Do we think we're going to see that this year?
I think it's going to continue. I think it'll be a smaller doses. There won't be as much need, but I think they've discovered, like, anytime they have an opening, like, hey, let's see. But I don't think, you know, obviously we don't know. The COVID's still around, the Delta variant, we're still in it. So we can't say for sure. But I think as that hopefully tapers off and there's less, you know, there's not going to be as many programs that are canceling, like, on the drop of a, it'll mainly be weather stuff, if anything. So I do think that's going to continue. That's fun. I love it. I think it's great. I think the one thing we saw universally across sports is that all these things where, like, you have to plan out your schedules 900 years in advance. Like, we discovered that things can be done quicker and that it's not like this is like, you know, there's some secret to this whole thing. So I do hope that the Twitter, Tinder aspect still continues, you know, the matchmaking.
Well, we'll see how that kind of pans out as we head into season. Now, we spoke a little bit about fall reports. We've got fall reports up on the website. Reed just did a fantastic report on Arkansas, the Razorbacks. They've got a ton of transfers that they reloaded with this fall, and then a huge, huge offense. Courtney Dyfel did an impeccable job last year with them, winning a share of the title for the first time ever. Ree, what did Courtney say in terms of her team this year? I know we have got that report on the site, but what did you take away from your conversation with her?
Yeah, just basically that they filled the holes that they, in any players they lost, with some, you know, pretty strong transfers, as we know, KB Sides, Callie Turner, Taylor Ellsworth among them. So she feels like, honestly, this is a better offensive team and a better pitching team than last year's team. Yet they still have a huge chip on their shoulder because a lot of people obviously thought they didn't play the hardest of SEC schedules. They missed some teams. So they're still, you know, they're still able to be champions and feel like they're, like, disrespected, which is what every coach loves, right? They want to still have that, like, okay, doubt us if you want. So then their team don't get complacent. So she's excited. And she feels like the new blood coming in has really helped to kind of motivate, and they don't want to be like, and they're not a one-hit wonder, but they don't want to plateau. They want to keep building, and she sees a lot more growth for them. So she's excited about the season and what they're already showing so far in the fall.
So that's Arkansas. Then we have Wichita State up, which Brady Vernon, who we brought on board this season for fall, he's got that report out on Wichita State, huge offense there. And We saw some incredible defensive plays out of the Shockers last year as well. So I'm excited to see both the offense and the defense and see who steps up in the circle because they do lose Lang this year. So check out the Wichita State Shockers. It's up on the website. And Seattle University. I actually got to speak to Jeff here in person in Seattle. I actually went to Seattle and had a great time speaking to him about his new squad. And, you know, Seattle has the potential to be JMU of the West if they can kind of get it together. They lost a few transfers, but picked up some key freshmen and actually gained a few transfers as well, one from Hawaii, one from Middle Tennessee. So that report's up on the site as well. Head on over to d1softball.com. And we'll be rolling out fall reports all fall long and pretty much into the winter on all of your favorite teams. And so subscribe, like, any information, send it to info@d1softball.com. Ree, any comments before we get into our guest of the week?
No, just what you said. I mean, we're going to have, you know, that it's the place if you're a softball fan to get all the information on every team. We make a concerted effort to contact every team in the nation pretty much. So there's no place you can find it better. I learned stuff reading our own reports and it's awesome. I'm loving it. And I think as you said on this podcast, if you can reach us on social media or through the website or, you know, the email address, happy to address any questions. And if there's guests you guys may want to see us have on or coaches or athletes, let us know. We'll definitely make an effort. We can't guarantee it, but anything we can do to make this podcast what you guys want, we're all about it.
So we are so excited to welcome our first guest of season two. Ree is going to do the intro of our first guest. We spoke a little bit about her earlier, but none other than Arizona head coach Caitlin Lowe. Ree, what do you got on Caitlin?
Well, she's stepping into some big shoes, taking over for Mike Candrea, who is pretty much the softball god of coaching here, one of them that decided to retire after the World Series run last year. Caitlin, you know, the All-American at Arizona herself, one of the best players to come out of there, professional player, longtime assistant coach, and really, really excited about the, you know, she's someone that's been there, but it still feels like some new energy in the program, her just sliding over. And she's just really, I think she's exactly what that program needs and just a fresh air to speak with, and really love talking to her on the D1 softball podcast.
Yeah. I was fortunate enough to play against Caitlin. I mean, I don't know what fortunate, but, she is, she's on base all the time. One of the greatest slappers of all time. And not only that, but just a great human being. And she comes from an incredible family that has been supportive and has shown up to every single one of her games that I can remember. So just really honored and happy to have her on the pod today. And I just love her energy. I love the way she speaks about her team and the program, her staff, and just really excited to see what she does at Arizona softball as the new head coach. So here we go with Caitlin Lowe, head coach of Arizona softball.
And now we are really pleased to be joined by Arizona head coach Caitlin Lowe, who is in her first season as the head coach at Arizona after many years in the program, as we all know. Caitlin, thank you so much for being the first guest of season two of the podcast.
Thank you guys so much for having me. It's an honor.
So as we said, some big shoes you had to fill, I would say, to say the least, with Coach Candrea announcing his retirement. How does it feel taking over a program that you played in and that you have so much passion for? How has it been? I know it's, you know, you're still just getting into fall, but how does it feel to be the official head coach of Arizona softball?
You know, it's been great so far, and I'm pretty blessed because the transition has been pretty seamless the way he set everything up. And you know, he's still hanging around until January in a great role with our athletic department. He's here for kind of all head coaches. So his door is revolving, and he jokes that he's busier now than he was before. But it's been great. And I think, you know, for me, it was a no-brainer because, you know, I know the standards and really just the culture of this program. And it's upholding that and not setting, you know, a brand new identity coming in. I think That's what made it a little bit easier, is just I live and breathe the standards of this program. And so for me, it's easy to come in and uphold that. Now, has it been a challenge? Absolutely. You know, there's a lot of things that are on my plate now that have never been on my plate. And I joke with coach all the time, like, man, you had to do all of these things and you just never, you know, it never fazed you. When you came out to practice, you were the same person every day. So a lot of new, but really just a blessing to work with these athletes every day, because we really do have a great group of women.
Being that, you know, the figure that Coach Kendrea was and remains in softball, was there any intimidation of taking over? I mean, we always kind of hear, like, whoever takes over for John Wooden or Pat Summitt, you know, those historical figures, that it's always might be just a hard road to follow. Was any in your mind ever creep in that sense?
You know, I think when someone is as loved as he is throughout the sport, it's hard to compete with that, but I didn't take it as a competition. I just, you know, I try to come in and be myself every day, and I would never not want him around. And I think when he shows up at anything, the girls just light up, you know, and I think that's important for them to still have that, and for me to celebrate that, because that's how I feel when he walks into the room too. You know, it was very apparent this summer that, man, I missed him in the office. And it wasn't that I missed softball coach Kendrea, it was that I missed him as a person and, you know, the advice that he gives. So I think if I was trying to compete with him and outdo him, I think we all know that's not possible for anyone. But really just celebrating what he means to this program. And he's now a resource that I have, which I would never even think of not going to him down the hall. And I think that's been really my biggest thing, is, you know, the transition isn't from one to another. It's a blend of what we've had into kind of just some new touches that we've put on the program. So I'm just lucky to have him still around and still, you know, even if you look at our culture, like, you just see his touches everywhere, right? So just trying to uphold that for sure.
Now, there was, whenever anyone gets up, you know, with that many years in the game, there's always murmurs of, like, when this will be a last year, when, you know, when did you have an idea? Did you have an earlier idea than most of us, or when did it kind of come on your radar, this really could be it?
You know, I think that question is so funny, because I go back to 2001, when I got recruited to Arizona, and my dad asked him if he was going to retire. So it was like, you know, it's a question every single year, and it always was. And, you know, his thing was always, he reevaluates at the end of every year. And I think, you know, that's kind of how I retired professionally too. It was like, if I get a feeling when it's time, I'm not going to make this decision too far in advance. So, I think, you know, we knew soon. We didn't know the exact moment, but he has a sneaky way, man. Like, he just has a sneaky way of prepping you without telling you that you're being prepped for something. And, you know, I think he always knew that I wanted to be a head coach one day. And I think he was preparing me for that, not necessarily here, but just anywhere. And I'm lucky because he threw a lot of things at me early that prepped me for this role. So yeah, I just, you know, he has just a funny way of working things out, and he's just masterful in his execution, just like on the softball field.
Yeah, in terms of that coaching career, I'd love you to tell us about your entry into coaching and how you literally hated the director of ops position so much that you decided to work for free instead. Yeah. Because it was such a, because you just wanted to be working on the field. Can you tell us that story a little bit?
Well, he kind of cornered me, right, at Autumn Champion's wedding, who's one of my really good friends. And so he's like, you know, what are you doing? We have this new ops role open. It was like when it first got introduced even into college. And I'm like, great. Yeah, absolutely. Like, I want to be around the program. And then I remember when I got here, like, he told me the rules of the position. And so the rules are, you may not talk about coaching. I mean, it cannot be softball. You're setting up our hotels and this and that. And I think it wasn't that I was doing, you know, operational things. It's that I wasn't getting to do what I love to do, which was be on the field with the girls. You know, if they needed me, I could be there for advice or whatever. And that's what I hated. It was just like, you know, you see something and you want to have a conversation about it and it just wasn't possible. So I think that's what really killed me. I just walked into his office and I was like, I can't do this anymore. I want to be, you know, valuable in a different way. I want to be able to share my passion through the sport. So it just so happened that the volunteer spot was open and I was kind of still playing professionally. So I was in an okay position financially, because otherwise it would have been a complete disaster. But, you know, I was just like, I want to do this. And if, you know, that's the route I want to go, I was willing to, you know, do anything that I needed to get there and really just gain experience first, because I think it's hard, you know, the transition between being a player and then coming in to be a coach. It's hard because as a player, it's very much so, it's about the team, but it's about prepping yourself to be ready, you know, for your role. And so to come in and be a coach and be worried about, the umbrella is bigger, right? You're worried about so many things, kind of, you know, working themselves out perfectly to get to an end point. It's hard. And that first year though, as a volunteer, even working for free, I was like, this is what I'm meant to do. You know, I felt like I was making an impact and making a difference. And just the fact that I was available to them, not just on the softball field, but off the softball field as well. So, you know, that year I think changed my life, because it wasn't about money and it wasn't about other things. It was just about finding what I was meant to do. And I think, you know, Tara, you can probably attest to this. It's like, okay, softball's done, now what? Like, it's such a big part of me. So I knew I wanted to be involved, but it was just kind of finding that path where I could still feel that passion I had every day as a player. And I kind of feel it more so on the coaching side, to be honest.
Yeah. Speaking of that, in terms of softball, you're also, I wanted to talk a little bit about you being a mom as well, because you've got two adorable little ones in Harper and Beckham. What's that transition like been? You went from being a softball player to a coach and to being a mom. And what's that been like from you now as a head coach? You know, you kind of get to dictate what happens and time management. What's that like been for you as a mom?
You know, when I had Harper, it was the hardest year I've ever had in my entire life. You know, you just don't know until you know what that's like. And, you know, I remember my mom telling me, oh yeah, like you can do it all. You can have kids and go to practice and do this. And I'm like, am I supposed to like strap them on my back and go to practice and it fungal? Like, what does that look like? So I think, figuring that out first of all, and then, I am like crazy lucky to have the family that I have, because my first year I took her with me everywhere. And that was a combo I was scared to have with Coach Candrea. I just walked in and I said, you know, at the time my husband was coaching the soccer team. So I was like, I have to bring her or she doesn't have anyone. So I traveled everywhere with my daughter that first year, and my parents would meet me, you know, at away stops. So they were flying just as much as the team was. And, gosh, man, though, like what a blessing to be able to share that experience with her, that year. But it's just a challenge, like with anything else. I think the time management, like you hit upon, is huge. And, I think any mom that you talk to has some sense of mom guilt. And on the flip side, you have coach guilt. It's like you can't give everything at all times to one of those things, which is kind of what your DNA wants you to do, right? Like as a softball player, we just give everything to the softball world. And now you have to kind of share your heart a little bit, share your time a little bit. But I've been lucky that they've gotten to grow up at the softball fields, you know, and I've worked for a man for sure that values family first. So having them around was not a big deal. And is it a challenge? Yes. You know, the recruiting window is about to open on my son's birthday, right? So it's like these decisions And you know what? He's two. He doesn't know what day his birthday falls on. So at this point, we can probably just say, hey, it's this day. We'll just make it work. But those are the little things, you know, the little things you make tough decisions on. And, you know, at the end of the day, the biggest advice I ever received was just be where your feet are. So if I'm at home, I am trying to be the best mom that I can be. And when I'm in the office, I've got my softball hat on.
Yeah, that doesn't surprise me, knowing both your parents, John and Dave. They were at every single game, every single practice, not only for you, for Paige. So it's just great that you've got that support system. And I think it's important with family first. And say hello to both of them for me.
I will for sure. And you would be happy to know they're Tucson residents as of about a couple weeks ago.
Wow.
So I'm really lucky because I've got my husband's parents here now and my parents here. So they made the change, got out of Southern California, and now they are Tucson residents and really happy about it. So I'm excited.
Now, we know that obviously you being someone that's played in that program and been under Coach Candrea for so long, that there will be a lot of things that fundamentally will probably stay the same. But with you taking over as the head coach, what maybe things that might change a little bit just to put your signature on it? Have you thought about that? Has stuff already kind of been implemented that maybe a little tweak because you're in that position now?
You know, I don't think it changes as much with me as much as it changes year to year with the clientele that we have on the team. And I think this year you're going to see a team that's really young. And I think that you can take that as a threat or you can take it as an opportunity. And for this team, they've taken it as an opportunity to be good for a while. And, you know, when you're thrown into those roles at such a young age, you got to sink or swim, right? And you're just trying to get there, and you get there a little bit faster, hopefully. So I think we're young and we're fresh and we have energy. You know, bringing in Lauren Lappin was, you know, I'm not trying to give myself props, but man, she's been a rock star. And, you know, I got to give a lot of credit to her, because especially working with a lot of freshmen and sophomores, I think it's important to set the tone of practice from the get-go. And she's been phenomenal. So I think not just me, but as a staff, we are a little bit different. You know, she implements a lot of new things. The energy at practice is fantastic. I think the girls play for each other right now. Which you just never really know, right? You never really know when you bring or you lose a group, bring in a new group, how that's going to change your culture. So for me, it's been awesome so far, and we'll see, I'm sure, when starting lineups start happening and all that good stuff. But right now it's just the energy of this group to get better. They are hungry. And I think as a staff, we're hungry too. So I think that trickles down. But really, you know, I think we're not reinventing the wheel at the same time. I truly am a big believer in fundamentals and, you know, passion and energy at practice and getting on people. And I think, you know, that's one thing we emphasize. I think we're really good defensively, but right now it's like, what kind of defensive team do you want to be? You know, when you watch Athletes Unlimited, they don't let bunts hit the ground. Like, these things aren't even pop-ups and they're not letting them hit the ground. And that's a mindset. And I think, you know, that's what I'm challenging them to do, is like, how do we want to present ourselves on the field? So that's what we're trying to develop in the fall. And hopefully that transfers over to the spring.
Being that now we're getting into, you know, everyone's starting fall ball, some games are being played across the country. What are the goals of the program right now in the fall? What would you like to see out of this period of learning from your team?
You know, I'm trying to figure out what our identity is on the softball field, to be honest. I think all of our starting positions, I mean, there's very few that are on lockdown. So right now we have a lot of people transferring around the infield and seeing what the outfield positioning looks like, seeing who works best together, you know, offensively too, what those puzzle pieces look like. I do know that defensively, we are an aggressive team, and I love that. I absolutely love that. So being able to have those pieces and have people be hungry, now it's just, let's figure out what combos work best together, you know, offensively and defensively. But I'm ready to see some people emerge, if that makes sense, as leaders. You know, who's going to be the one that's like, let's go, I've already started to see it just in conditioning, just in practice, but it's a whole new level when it's competition time. So it'll be interesting to see who emerges in that, right? And also in the circle. I think that's important too, is who's going to carry the torch for us in the circle.
Well, you've given us plenty of your time. I'd love to just kind of end on this one. Reflecting back on your playing career, is there a memory of softball, whether it be, you know, from your very little or through college or pro, that really resonates with you the most out of your career?
Oh my goodness gracious. Any moment that resonates with me throughout my career, you know, if we're going to take it back to like when I was little, I think probably the biggest thing anyone ever did for me is my dad just, you know, from a very young age, he taught me how to love the game. And it wasn't ever about mechanics or playing time or, you know, like if you're going to go do something, you better love it. And so he taught me the ins and outs of loving it, you know, like being a good teammate, you know, loving on your teammates, making them feel powerful, just the little things that have nothing to do with exit velocity and how hard you can throw a ball. It's just, you know, if I didn't have a base of that from the get-go, I really don't think I would be here right now. So I just had good parents that instilled good values, and we had, you know, I've had the team kind of present our pillars. And yesterday they presented on character, and I got goosebumps because they just hit the nail on the head. It's, you know, being a good person before you're a good softball player. And I was like, whoa, you know, like these are 19-year-old women and they get it. So just excited about that. But yeah, from a very young age, it was, you know, always trying to be a good person and a good teammate before I was a good softball player. So I think shout out to my dad because he did things the right way for sure.
That's awesome. And as we see, it's lasted throughout. That's like you said, you never wanted to leave the game. So mm-hmm. That's great. Well, we really appreciate you being the first guest of season 2 of Division I Softball Podcast. You know, I know it's going to be a fun time in the fall. And once we get, you know, fingers crossed, this spring is completely normal with stadiums full the whole time and regular schedules. So we'll be keeping track of you in the fall. And you've got a standing invitation to come back on the podcast whenever you want. Mountain time, Pacific time, Eastern time, time zone, we can figure out. We will make it work for you. So I really appreciate you taking some time this morning.
Awesome. Thank you guys so much. Take care.
And that was Caitlin Lowe, Arizona head coach. Just a breath of fresh air and an incredible human. Can't wait to see her squad in 2022. It's just going to be exciting to see the new era with Caitlin Lowe. And she's got all those sprinkles of Coach Pandrea, and you can hear it in the way she speaks. You can hear it in, you know, her philosophy, and know that he has been preparing her probably her entire life for this, or since she's been a part of Arizona.
Yeah. And I just love her, how she's embraced the opportunity as we kind of spoke about. It could be intimidating. I mean, it is to follow in the footsteps of someone like that, but she's not approaching it with, you know, at least publicly with any pressure. It's more like, this is an opportunity and this is a program that I love, and we're just going to keep going on, and I'll put my own stamp on it whenever it's required. But just love how she's embraced it and she's running with it. And I think it's great they have like a young team, because it's a good transitional year to kind of build that together and not have, you know, have some fresh blood that isn't quite as, you know, and they've met Coach Candre obviously, but it's kind of a new start for everyone. So I think it's going to be real fun to see what she does there. And I have no doubt she'll have some success, and we'll have her on many times in the future, I'm sure.
And include the addition of Lauren Lappin. So you've got Lauren Lappin, Taryn Moa, and Caitlin Lowe on your coaching staff. Not only three incredible coaches, but three legit players in their day and time. All know how to win. That's a common theme between all of them. And so that staff is one to watch out for. And we always know that they're going to be successful over at Arizona, but them as a core group, it's just exciting to see those three women take over that program and see what happens heading into the next decade, I would say, with those three. So that's Arizona. We've got fall reports up on the site. We spoke about it earlier. So head on over to d1softball.com. You've got your annual subscription, 20% off an annual subscription. Head on over there and like, subscribe us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and download us on Apple Podcasts so you can hear us every week. So we'll be dropping a new episode every Thursday. I'll be taping them on Wednesdays and drop them every Thursday. And let us know what you think. Ree, final thoughts on episode one of season two?
Nah, just like you said, and we've got so many platforms that even when one goes down and there's a massive, you can find us somewhere else. So rate, subscribe, review. If you follow us on every aspect, you'll no matter what happens, you'll be able to get our content somewhere. So in case, one of the social media, conglomerate big juggernauts goes down, you can still find us other places. No, I'm excited. Again, I just, it really, if you want this content to continue and the stuff to continue, just, it really helps us if you do rate, review, and subscribe. We really want to cover women's sports the way it deserves to be covered. And you loyal fans are the reason that that's enabled to happen. So we thank you and we hope that you continue to do it.
All right. Well, that's going to do it for season two, episode one of the D1 Softball Podcast. This is Terry Henry signing off for Rhiannon Potke on D1 Softball. We'll see you all next week.